Well, good afternoon, Marion. How you doing? I hope you're having a great day so far. I had a good morning this morning. I slept all the way till 7:30. The doggy didn't wake me up to go out or anything like that. And the trash guy actually took a giant television I had out front. I didn't know that he was going to. I put a sign on it that said free and it works, and nobody picked it up for 2 days. So the trash guy picked it up, and I appreciate it. If you're listening right now, I'm sorry it was so heavy. I should have left a little dolly out there to help you move it and throw it into the trash. Anyway, I really appreciate our city workers and all the things they do for us for virtually nothing. Anyway, thanks a lot, and I hope everybody is settling down to a little bit of cold weather. Now, yesterday it warmed up. That was nice. I was able to put my cover on my little RV so that it's ready to go for the winter. I hope I winterized it the correct way. I'm not quite sure, but anyway, we've got it covered and got the front lawn mowed, and I worked my little derriere off yesterday trying to straighten things up around the house before the cold weather comes. It's not that far away, is it? Wow. Winter is, let's see, what is it? Winter, it will be 2 months and 5 days away, something like that. The 21st of December. I never forget it because it's my, it will be my 50th wedding anniversary this time. I told my wife I was going to take her to Europe on our 25th wedding anniversary. I never did that, so I'm not promising anything. If she gets a free meal, that'll be good. And that's what we really have been doing for the last 50 years on our anniversary. Kind of a neat story. We were married in Valparaiso, Indiana, by my father. And we honeymooned in Chicago on the Lakeshore Drive in a Holiday Inn that used to be on Lakeshore Drive. It is no longer, I don't believe. And we walked over. It was a giant snowstorm. And so we had to walk because the car, well, first of all, the car got sick. But we had to walk to the nearest restaurant, and it happened to be right in the shadow of the, what's the name of that building Chicago Fire style, the water tower. It's right by the water tower. This restaurant that we went to called Old Cathay, I believe, and it is no longer either. But we went there every year for several years, probably 10, 15 years. We would go there on our anniversary, and then it went away. So we usually have Chinese food on our anniversary, and keeps the heart young. Anyway, I don't know where I was going. Oh, I know. It's going to be cold. We're going to start getting the cold weather, and it hasn't frozen yet. I keep an eye out for that because of my little trailer. You have to winterize it before it freezes. So I got all the water out of it and everything. Anyway, that's what we did this weekend, and I hope you had a productive weekend. And I call the weekend Friday through Tuesday. Hey, we're going to do some really exciting stuff here at WWGH. And by the way, if you're interested in calling in during the show, you're welcome to call in and tell us anything. Well, not anything, but you're welcome to call us and talk to us. The phone number, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH if you look on your phone. Okay, you're welcome to call. Anyway, we're going to do some fun stuff coming up. This is the election season. And we are going to have a candidates forum on next Thursday, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. It's going to go from, put it in my phone. Let's see if I can find it real quickly here. It's on, it will be on the 24th, and it will run from 6 to 8 here at WWGH. And we will be talking to any of the candidates that have accepted our offer, and our offer is open to all candidates. If you have not gotten the word and you'd like to be on and you are a candidate for office this time, please feel free to contact the office. You can call here at our number 740-383-9944. It probably would be a good idea if you call at the top of the hour, because the rest of the time we're using the phone. And so if you call that number while we're on the air, you will probably go on the air. You're welcome to call us or go to our email or our website and indicate to us on our website, message us that you are interested in being there. Make sure that Scott knows that you're going to be on the candidate forum, and we will have several people here. And we will ask them lots of questions. It would probably be a good place for anybody who is interested, and I hope all of you are interested in voting. Anybody interested, tune in on Thursday, a week from tomorrow, Thursday, from 6 to 8, and listen to what the candidates have to say. There really aren't a lot of places to go to find out what the candidates are saying. I suppose you can go to the local newspaper, but that's kind of skimpy news right now. They're down to, I don't know, maybe one reporter. They don't have very many. And the local radio stations, other than us, really are automated and just play music. So tune in to us and you'll find out. I guess the League of Women Voters is a couple of nights before ours. We will be able to go to that and bone up questions that we need to ask the candidates. And we'd love to have you participate by calling in. Our lines will be open, and just call in and ask questions of the candidates that we have on that night. Also, don't forget, on election night, which is November the 5th, not that far away, November the 5th, we will have people. Apparently, I have just volunteered to be at the Democratic headquarters. We'll have somebody at the Republican headquarters, and we'll have people up here in the studio, and we'll also have people at the Board of Elections. So if you want to get live information, we will have it here, and I don't know that there's any other place that you can get that information. I'm not even sure that there's a place on television. All the TV stations that we have that give you live crawls, they're down in Columbus, so they're going to be a little later than we will. So we'll have up-to-date stuff, and we'd love to have you listen to us on election night, the 5th of November. And that's one of the things about this station. I love working at this station. The pay is not good, non-existent, and but that's about the only bad thing about this station. The people are wonderful to work with. I love working with Charlie and Scott and all the people that work up that I meet up here. And it's our new digs are kind of nice. We're in the I guess it's called the Ohio Health Building downtown at the corner of Prospect and Center Street. And we are on the second floor if you ever want to come up and visit us. And by the way, if you have to come up and pick up some of your information, or let's say you won something. Right now we're giving away, I think we have zoo tickets, and we have the VIP Nightmare Pass, which is down where they have Tecumseh. It's and from what I understand, people jump out at you and scare you. If you have won one of those, stop up here, and you can pick it up anytime from on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday from 10 a.m. It might even be able to pick it up at 8 now that Scott's back live in the morning. But suggested hours are 10 to 1 p.m. If you come in the front door and you hear my voice on the air, just sneak around and look in the studio and wave at me, and we'll figure out how to get you your prize that you won. So anyway, it's that time of the year. Things are starting to pick up. We will have stuff for Thanksgiving, and we're even toying with the idea of having a live what is it called? A radio broadcast, a radio play about Sleepy Hollow, maybe on Halloween Eve, and we might even be able to come up with a Christmas Carol radio drama. We're going to look and see if we can do that. It would be great fun, I think. Have your kids sit around the radio like we used to do when I was a kid, except for the only things that my father and I would listen to on the radio, we listened to a lot of radio dramas like Johnny Dollar and The Shadow and things like that. But my dad liked to live, and this is odd being a kind of a pacifistic Methodist minister, he liked to listen to boxing was on radio back then. But we'll kind of reenact that. You'll be able to, if we're able to pull this off, it'll be great fun to listen to several of us dramatizing Sleepy Hollow. What is the name of that play? I can't. Well, you know the one I mean. The Headless Horseman, I'm sorry. And also, if we do it, Christmas Carol is a great play that I believe they have it in a shortened version that we might be able to do on radio. Try to do things 15 minutes or less. Sometimes some of these go a little bit longer than that. But anyway, we're gonna look into doing that. This is your radio station. If you have ideas of what you'd like to hear on the radio station, why don't you drop us a message on our website and just say, hey, I'd really like you to do this and that. You might like to hear the story of the Easter Bunny if they have that in radio drama. Whatever. Send us suggestions, because we are the only place in town now where you can actually talk to the radio. And we would love to hear from you. Anyway, I'm going to get back now. You're listening. This show is called A Passive. Why do I've done that twice now. A Progressive Life. It is not a passive life. As a matter of fact, one of the complaints I have about my opponents, and I am no longer running for office, but one of my complaints is that we just have no intestinal fortitude, it doesn't seem. Nobody is brave enough. They're so worried about their job that they won't tell the president or whoever is above them, they won't tell them that they're doing something that they think is incorrect. That never works very well as far as I can see. So anyway, right now we are listening. We are in the middle of A Progressive Life, and yours truly, Glenn Coble, is doing it. So there were several things that have occurred in the last week or so that are noteworthy, and I'm sure you've heard most of them. But one of the things I was interested in this morning, there's a lot of talk about impeachment and whether it needs to be a process or whether it needs to be voted on, whether you're going into impeachment or how, whether you need to make it formal. Well, the Constitution does not require that it be done as a formal thing. The fact that we're calling it an impeachment inquiry right now is perfectly okay with the Constitution. And this morning I saw a report that said 63% think that this impeachment process should proceed. 63% of the American public. That's nearly two-thirds of the American public think we're going the right direction by looking into this. Now, I'm certain that if you had asked that question of them 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it would have been nowhere near that. But so much has come out in the last couple of weeks about, Mr. Trump inviting the president of Yugoslavia to get dirt on Mr. Biden's son so that he could apparently defeat the president believes that Biden is the number one candidate, but right now Warren is right there with him, so pretty soon he'll have to drum up some way of getting dirt on Elizabeth Warren. But anyway, that has really sparked the imagination of the American public, and now they're able to understand why that's illegal. I sympathize with any of you who have read the Mueller report, which I have. It's long. I think it took 19 hours. I think I timed it up 19 hours to get through that, and it's long and it's kind of difficult to understand, especially the first part of it, the first chapter or whatever they want to call it. The first half of the Mueller report is difficult to keep interested in. The second half is pretty clear about the cover up and all the bad stuff that was going on in our government. But it's not real clear. It's not real black and white. It's pretty dark gray and, you know, shady color. It's pretty clear that bad things were going on, but there is so much of it that it kind of gets clouded up with just too much stuff. One of the things that's been asked a lot this week, Republicans in Congress, the Republicans in the House and the senators have all kind of sung in chorus that there's nothing to hide there. It might have been unpopular, probably was not the right thing to do, but it didn't reach the level of impeachment when the president basically gave the green light to Turkey to blast over to Syria and just actually commit genocide, it seems like, against the Kurds that are north of that border. But my question to my Republican friends, all of my Republican friends, is, well, I've got several questions, but one is, first of all, why are you being such coward? Why are you being so cowardly? Because if there's nothing to hide, why not just open everything up? And now the Republican administration has said, we're not going to give you anything, nothing. Well, if you didn't do anything wrong, why don't you just say what you didn't do? just bring it out, especially instead of trying to drum up dirt on Mr. Biden's son. Now, he even admitted it was quite an interesting bit that he did right before the morning before the debates yesterday. He came out and he said it was probably a bad choice. It was an error in judgment, but he did nothing wrong. He broke no laws. He accepted no money that was under the table. What he accepted was his salary, as he had agreed to, and we would all do that. And then he admitted something that I thought was quite straightforward of him. He admitted that a lot of what he has gotten in his life has been because his last name is Biden. And immediately, as soon as I heard him say that, I thought to myself, well, how about Ivanka? How about John Jr.? How about Eric? They've made millions of dollars, not $500,000 in a year. They've made millions, and I think somebody mentioned $72 million Ivanka and Don Jr. made last year alone because their last name is Trump. It has nothing to do with they know the answer to how to cure cancer. their last name is Trump. And I really believe that we have to maybe find ways to clear that up. Kids and people with last names that are familiar. I mean, there have been lots of actors that have become actors and actresses because their last name was the same as their very famous mother or their very famous father. So it's part of life. People who have become famous, their children tend to get benefits. Now, I was a Methodist minister's son. Believe it or not, I actually got benefits from that. I mean, people all knew me at the church, so I could run the church as if it were my own playground. Nobody ever asked why I was in there. And there were a few times I was in there for mischief. Not very often, but occasionally. And so, yes, of course, we all get some benefits because of who mom and dad were. But $72 million, I wouldn't mind having that, especially with very few and limited skills. A question that was brought up yesterday, I believe, on the news was the question of, you know, everybody is going after Giuliani now. What did he know? What did he do? Was he really the one in charge of trying to get the president the president of Yugoslavia to say bad stuff about Mr. Biden or his son. So they're throwing that name out a lot, and a lot of Republicans are throwing that name out. And the question is now starting to arise, are they trying to scapegoat Giuliani for the president, trying to make Giuliani the bad guy, the guy that was doing the wrong stuff? It wasn't the president that was doing the wrong stuff. It was Giuliani, and he was doing it on his own. That's popped up, too. I cannot believe that the president didn't know what he was doing, since he supposedly is the president's personal lawyer. And that could change from day to day. That's one of the problems with having a president that has difficulties with the truth. You don't know, and you can't even guess what direction we're going in, which does another thing. It makes us all fearful. We have no idea where we're going, so therefore we're afraid that something bad might happen. And quite frankly, something bad has happened, as the Kurds are being slaughtered in Syria. How in the world we can look at anybody in the Middle East, or for that matter, anybody of our allies, and say, we got your back? That rings kind of hollow right now, as the Kurds get slaughtered. One of the things I put on my, Twitter. One of the things I put on my Twitter account is how must someone feel knowing full well that some little child is waking up fearful because he hears some Turkish soldiers outside his door, knowing full well that they're here because he's his family is Kurdish, and having a very good chance that they're going to come in and slaughter them. I just don't understand. First of all, I don't understand why people think they have any right or why they have any desire to kill other people. Can you explain that to me? If there's a reason why, now, when I go to bed at night, I sometimes think of some of the people that I would, I'm hoping that their time will pass real quickly, and because they're such terrible people. And I suppose that's what Turkish people have been told about the Kurds all their lives, is how evil and terrible the Kurds are. And I bet if they lived next door to each other and helped each other, you know, clean the gutters and mow the lawn or whatever you do, I bet they would find that most of the Kurds they could live with, and vice versa. We are afraid of what we don't know. That's the basis for so much of our prejudice, is we don't know the other people. I've said this many times on this station. I was so lucky because I grew up, the high school, the junior high and the high school that I started in were about 35% African American. So I got to know all kinds of people, and there were lots of Hispanic people, not so many Asians, but I got to know people of different colors, different ways of talking, different ways of culture, and found out there's no difference, none. If you get to know anybody from, let's say, a different background, you'll find out that we all have an awful lot in common. One of the things we have in common is we all have moms. Now, I must amend that. Right now, there are some young children that have two dads. But we all had moms. We were born of woman. Usually, I would say 99% of the time, that woman is your mom. And she loves you. And she tries to do the best for you. Now, I know we have some moms that are not very good moms due to drug addiction or due to terrible relationships within her own family or her husband or so forth. But most moms care first about their kid before they care about anything else. And quite frankly, as a dad, I feel the same way. My children are the most important part of my life, and if my wife is listening, I love you too, dear. and I guess I love her probably a tiny bit more because she brought me those three lovely children who are now getting up in age. Two of them are into their 40s, and one of them is into his 30s, and it's just impossible to believe. Anyway, let's go. Where I forgot where I was going. One of the questions I had last night while I was listening, I did not listen to the debates. My wife said she wasn't going to listen to them. She was going to only listen to occasionally. She lied. She listened all night, but she had headphones on and she was watching it on our computer, and I watched other stuff because I just don't like to see, whether it's Democratic or Republican, I don't like to see people running other people down for any reason. And I think after watching some of the recap this morning, I think it was fairly well moderated so that it wasn't just flat out ugly. Now, my wife kept muttering things. My wife mutters. She's one of those people that mutters if I do something she doesn't like, I hear it under her voice, which irritates the heck out of me, which causes more problems. Anyway, but she was muttering about how lopsided debate was, and she didn't like the fact that the only people that seemed to be getting a lot of attention were the top, Biden, Warren, the top four. Now I'm running blanks, but she felt that it was unfair that those four were getting most of the discussion. And that's okay with me. She's my wife. She can feel that way. Actually, anybody can feel that way. I personally like to just listen to whatever I can hear, and try not to say, "Well, you're not being fair to me." I've never liked that. I remember as a kid, kids going to teachers saying, "He's not being fair to me." That just drives me crazy. Don't complain. Just do the right thing and straight ahead. That's the way I believe. You should not cast stones if you live in glass houses. Not that too many of us live in glass houses, but it just doesn't seem to me to be a logical way, throwing stones at us. Remember, we were just talking about that this morning, about how Scott and I were discussing running for office, and there's a difference of opinion between Scott and myself. I really don't like the idea of throwing dirt on people. But he pointed out that a lot of people that win are the ones that throw the dirt. And should you not be able to say the bad stuff about your opponent? Because how else are they going to get educated? The opponent is not going to tell you what the dirt is on him or her. And that's logical to me. I understand that. It's just not, when I was running for office, I just tried not to throw mud. And there's a difference between explaining the true situation and what's going on and throwing mud. I think we both agreed that mud is a little bit different than facts. Mud is maybe embellished information about your opponent. Embellished, I mean, stuff that may have a little bit of a lie attached to it, and I that is very reprehensible to me. I just cannot stand to. There are a couple things that I really found when I was running for office that I could not stand. One of them was mudslinging or telling kind of off truths about the opponent to make people not like that person. I always felt that you needed to establish where you stand so people could vote for you if they agreed with you. Then the other thing is the hypocrisy. And one of the biggest hypocrisies, I think, that's popped up is Donald Jr. Complaining about Biden's son making $500,000 a year as a consultant, I guess, to some Syrian company, I believe it was. And meanwhile, he's making millions and millions of dollars himself. If that's not hypocrisy, and he's making it off of his name, I don't see that he seems to be an extremely brilliant person. My guess is the main reason why he and his sister and the rest of the family are making money is because their last name is Trump. And quite frankly, they've found a way to lose money Four times, I think, Trump has declared bankruptcy, maybe five. So they found a way that you can lose money but still make money after you've stiffed everybody else. One of the opportunities, when I ran a business, I owned a business for 5 years, and I really enjoyed the business, but it was, my location wasn't great, and it was right at the end of the beginning of the internet era, when people started buying stuff online, and the type of items that I was selling, sporting goods, were starting to be taken over by internet advertising and that sort of thing. And so after 5 years, my wife and I decided we had to call it quits, or we wouldn't have anything. I brought up several times that we very easily could declare bankruptcy. We had no money. We were making no money. And we had some pretty significant bills that we had to pay. And we had tapped out our retirement fund, and we had tapped out of just about everything. And so we did get out of the business, and my wife said we were not. I said we ought to declare bankruptcy, and my wife said we will not declare bankruptcy. And I said, well, that's what bankruptcy's for, is to protect those of us who get in this situation. She said, and I agreed with her, we had obligations that we agreed to verbally and on paper, was our honor not high enough that we should stand up for those obligations that we had agreed to? We both decided that was a more honorable thing to just struggle along and pay them off as we could, and that's what we did. And fortunately, after 10 years, I guess, we had paid everything off, and right now we don't owe anybody anything from that business. We did struggle, and I will admit there were times I could not go to sleep because I didn't know how we were going to pay something the next day. But I have a very good financially minded wife who knows how to pay the bills on the float. And the float is, it was a lot easier before they required you pay on the internet. But the float was, if you owed something on Friday, you paid it on Friday, and therefore it would take 3 days to get to where you had sent the check, but the check was dated on that day, so you were good, covered there, but you didn't have to worry about that money until the following Monday or Tuesday, depending on how long the mail took. That was the float. And my wife knew how to use it, but it got to a point where you can't use the float, anymore. It better be there that day. But we got through it. There were times that we ate some pretty skimpy food, but probably wouldn't have hurt me if I had stayed on that diet. Unfortunately, the more we paid off, the more money we had, the more I ate. And so therefore I'm probably about 50 pounds too heavy. Don't tell my wife that. She doesn't know it. I keep hiding it. Anyway, of course she knows it. I hope that you will help us tomorrow. Because we're going to have the second day of, at this time, we're going to have the second day of a swap shop. And from what I understand, we even have a theme song now. I'm excited about this. Swap shop, I think, last Thursday, we had, I think, 9 callers, 7 of whom had stuff to sell. Now we do have a little bit of a problem in that we only have one phone line in. So if you call and it's busy, you'll have to call back. I hope we sold some of those things for those folks. We had free puppies. We had free bunnies. We had floor mats. We had, I'm trying to think of all the different things that we had. One person had four items. And so we had lots of items that we sold. We do ask that you keep it to a maximum of four items. We also ask that on Swap Shop that you only sell things that are not things that require registration. We don't want you, we'd rather not have you try to sell your car, your boat, unless it's one of those boats that doesn't have to be registered, or no firearms. We don't want to have to worry about that registration. Anything that requires a state or a federal registration, we would rather not have on the air. But everything else, you know, all those tchotchkes, I think that's a good word, all those tchotchkes that you have that are just sitting there piling up, maybe you can get rid of a few and you'll have a few bucks extra so you can go out and take the missus out for dinner. Or you can take yourself out to dinner or go have a toast. do call us tomorrow. Again, the phone number, and you can call this show as well, but the phone number tomorrow will be exactly the same, 740-383-9944, 740-383-WWGH, you can sell your items. We're in the infancy of this show, so things are up and down. If I happen to lose you when you call in, just call right back. I do occasionally hit the wrong button at the right time. So I'd love to have you call back if I lose you. I keep a list of everything, and I will try to keep reminding people of the stuff that we have to sell that day. And if you're also interested, you're more than welcome to bring up a 3x5 card with the things you're interested in selling and your phone number, and slide it under our door if it's not between 10 and 1 p.m. Just slide it under our door. I'll get it and I'll announce it. We hope we get lots of people. We're even thinking about bringing it on for 2 days. Maybe going Thursday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, which is what we're doing right now. And maybe, just maybe, adding a Friday, and that would go from 1:15 to 2 o'clock live. If you're interested and you know somebody who would benefit by being our sponsor, we'd love to have a sponsor. The sponsor will get lots of coverage. I think you would be covered. We've got packages. You give us a call, you're more than welcome to call in tomorrow during the show and say, I'd like to sponsor your show, and give us your phone number, and I'll call you back after the show's over. It's very, very inexpensive. And then you would be the sponsor, your company would be the sponsor of a Swap Shop at least once a week and maybe twice a week. We'd love to mention your name, and we cannot sell things on the air for you. I mean, if we aren't allowed to have you announce that you're going to sell tomatoes for 35 cents a pound. You could call up and say you're a grocery store and some of the things that you sell are, and list a few of the things, but you cannot have a selling proposition on one of these stations. Our license will not allow it. Anyway, where am I going with this? Well, we would love to have you call us tomorrow. Don't forget, Swap Shop will go from 12:15 to 1 o'clock tomorrow, you'll have to call in Give us your phone number and give us the items that you're willing to sell, and we'll see if we can't get rid of them for you. I have lots of things. I keep threatening my wife that I'm going to bring my own stuff up to the station and sell it from the station. But she didn't sound real excited about that idea. And I'm not giving away my puppy dog. She's still hanging in there at 15 years of age, and we sleep together, and she breathes on me, her bad breath, and she's found it. We found a new way to put her outside, and she loves to run outside and romp. So things are good for her for now. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to both Swap Shops on Thursdays from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, and also A Progressive Life, which is what this show is, from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. And our Progressive Life, I try to cover as fairly as I can things going on in the world that either are pro or anti being progressive. And progressive is not a dirty word, believe me. It is truly what we've done all our lives. The man that invented or figured out fire was probably our first progressive. Well, anyway, this is Glenn Coble, and I hope you tune in tomorrow.
Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism.